Shalom, Mishpocha. Shalom, family. Mishpocha is a Hebrew word. It means family. And we're the Mishpocha, the family with a Jewish heart, made up of Jewish and non-Jewish people, where the middle wall of separation between Jew and Gentile finally come down to form one new man, one new humanity, getting ready, Mishpocha, to blow the grandest shofar or the grandest trumpet in Zion. We want everyone, everywhere, to hear the good news. We want everyone, everywhere, to be red hot for the Messiah. My guest, Dr. Reggie Anderson, has spent 25 years in family practice, emergency room. He's chief of staff at TriStar Ashland City Medical Center in Tennessee. He's an award-winning doctor, and he has held hands with hundreds of people just before they take their last breath. Dr. Anderson, you talk about something called parting of the veil. What does that mean?
Well, I feel like when God comes to find us in our last few breaths, that the veil pulls back and heaven actually pours into the room with us at that moment. And it's a very special, holy moment.
Pick one of the people you were holding hands with that this happened and tell me about them.
Well, I was actually, this is a lady that I had been treating for diabetes and high blood pressure for many years. And she came in complaining of chest pain. And so I admitted her to the hospital and diagnosed that she was having a heart attack. And I told her that we needed to send her to the cardiologist and have a heart cath. And so we sent her in, and about 4 or 5 hours later, the cardiologist called me, and I was fully expecting him to give me a report of how successful everything had been. But instead, he told me that Eunice had actually died on the table, and I was very sad at the moment when he said that, because she had been a special lady and I wasn't able to be, you know, at the moment of her death. I wasn't there. I was at another facility. But he went on to tell me that instead of her dying, actually, they did CPR and he had actually quit, but he had a resident that was working with him that wanted to practice for another hour his CPR techniques. And after 2 hours of CPR, she actually started breathing. And
now, how many hours was she dead?
2 hours.
Now, when you're saying, as a medical doctor, she was dead, is that a fact? She really was dead?
Yeah. I mean, the cardiologist said she had no heartbeat except for the chest compressions. She had no blood circulating on her own. They were doing complete CPR, had intubated her, were breathing for her. And if at any moment, if they had stopped during that process, that there would be no return.
So why did they continue as long as they did?
Well, like I said, the resident wanted to practice some of the techniques of doing CPR, and so the attending agreed that he could continue the process beyond the first, you know, 45 minutes to an hour in which they had attempted to revive her.
Okay, so she's in this vegetative state, so to speak. Nothing can be done medically. He's experimenting, as you said, to get practice. And what happens?
Well, her heart starts beating, and they move her to the ICU, and she's on a ventilator overnight. And he called me and said that, you know, he wasn't really expecting her to come back, that he felt like she would be brain dead if she did have any sort of he actually wanted to know if she had left a living will about organ donation. But the next morning, I was expecting them to give me a report that she had actually died. And but instead, they called me from the ICU and said that she had woke up and they had taken her off the ventilator and that she had one of the first things she wanted to do was to have me to come to her bedside. And so I drove into Nashville to this other hospital and with my wife, and I walked into the ICU and walked up to her bedside, and she looked up at me and she says, "I have to tell you the most wonderful experience."
Before you tell me that, as a doctor, I must ask you this. Is there any possible medical explanation as to why she was alive? Anything?
None. There, as a doctor, I would have never, in all of my medical training, would have said that she was gone, but for whatever reason. I consider it a miracle that she woke up the next morning.
Okay. What did she say when you met her?
She said, "Dr. Anderson, I have something to tell you."
Now, by the way, as a doctor, you observe things. What'd she look like when she said
she
that
to you?
She
was glowing and radiant. She was like, she was back to her normal. I mean, she was elderly and she was frail, but she...
She should have been in the dirt. She really was glowing?
Yeah, and she was vibrant. I mean, I was shocked by how well she looked. It was as well as she had ever looked in my knowledge of seeing her over the years.
Now, what did she tell you? Did she have any remembrance of what happened when she was dead?
She did. She actually told me that she had been there with Jesus and that she had been with her family, and she wanted to stay there, but Jesus told her that he wanted her to come back, and she had a few things that he wanted her to do, and one of them was to talk to me.
To you? What did Jesus want her to tell you?
Well, at the time, we had four children. We were living in a very rural area and had considered moving to another city so that our children would have better educational opportunities. And so we had been in prayer about that for several months, but this lady didn't know that. But she said, "I don't know why Jesus wants me to tell you, but you need to stay right where you are, doing right what you're doing." And I said, "Okay." And that was my answer to that prayer.
Now, I've heard of prophetic words, but this is off the charts, Reggie.
I know. I was somewhat taken aback by it, but I did know that, God had used her to help us stay where we were.
And did she say anything about her experience in heaven that was similar to yours?
It was. I mean, she said it was the greenest green and the brightest bright lights. And, I mean, the colors were so vibrant that it almost hurt your eyes. And I could totally understand that.
Now, you've also been with people that have died and not gone to heaven. For instance, tell me about Eddie.
He lived a very hard life. He constantly was in and out of bars and bar fights and abused his family both physically and verbally and sexually. And, the only time I encountered him really was mostly in the emergency room, stitching him up from another fight. So I knew that his life was not a very good spiritual life. And he came in, and this is a gentleman that I had, seen off and on for years, but he came in. They called a 911 gunshot wound to the head, and he had attempted suicide. And they brought him in, and I was thinking that he was going to die. But instead, he came back and was in rehab trying to get, fixed from his gunshot wound to his head. And I saw him a few months later in the office, and instead of this mean, cruel man, he actually turned his life back around and was very appreciative. He said that God had met him that night in the emergency room.
What did he see? What did he tell you he saw?
He said that he saw a horrible thing that he did not want to be a part of, and that he turned his life back around, and that he knew that God had given him a second chance. And from that moment on, he has been nothing but the most pleasant guy. I mean, it's like night and day. It's like a light had come on in his head.
Now, when he told you this story, you smelled something. What was that?
Yeah, I mean, initially in the emergency room, I smelled this almost like a sulfur and a burning sensation. So,
had you ever smelled that before?
There was one other situation earlier where a gentleman of similar character was dying of cancer, and he did not want us to do anything to revive him, and he said that all he wanted was for us to, you know, work on his cancer and take care of his pain. But as he was taking his last breath, it was as if evil had entered that room. And, you know, so I had smelled that same sensation earlier.
So you can tell whether someone's going to heaven or hell by what's going on with your senses.
Oh, yeah.
I'll tell you what, we're out of time right now. But you are not going to want to put this book down, and by the time you finish it, you will not be fearful of death. You will not be concerned about loved ones that have died and what they're experiencing in heaven. You will not ask questions like, why, God, did this thing happen or that tragedy happen? The book is called Appointments with Heaven. We're packaging it with my book, Heaven is Beyond Your Wildest Expectations, the 10 best testimonies of people that have died and gone to heaven and reported about what they said. Two were very personal friends of mine. Then a DVD in which Dr. Anderson and I answer those really questions that have been plaguing you about heaven. And we're going to cover some of the most important questions, all three items available for a gift of $40. It is a must to demystify death. To hear this week's interview or watch archives of our television show, It's Supernatural, visit our website at www.sidroth.org. That's www.sidroth.org. To receive a complimentary copy of our bi-monthly teaching newsletter, materials catalog, or information about becoming Mishpucha or Chalitzim, write to me, Sid Roth, Post Office Box 39222, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28278. To place a credit card order, call anytime, 1-800-447-2697. For all other calls, the number is 704-943-6500. That's 704-943-6500. For a CD of this week's broadcast, send a donation to Sid Roth. That's SIDROTH, Post Office Box 39222, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28278.